Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Jason Moens, who is the Vice President of Product for Flywire. Jason, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Karen.
So I've enjoyed speaking to your colleagues about a variety of topics that are really related to how to create a great experience for senders and receivers who are doing that across borders. And in particular, when they're sending high value amounts of money to an institution, which is a little different than I think some of the other cross-border scenarios that others may deal with. Today, we're going to dig in with you an interesting piece of the puzzle, and that is creating a platform that actually makes those transactions, those cross-border transactions, efficient and also seamless. So let's start with the basics. You guys are a platform at Flywire, and let's start with how you've engineered your platform to create a great user experience for both the sender and the receiver.
Great, thanks. So I think the first way that I would take that would be suspect of anybody that feels like there's a monolithic great experience that would work for all. I think having a great user experience does not mean having just one thing. I mean, the reality is we joke here that there's simpler businesses for Flywire to have gone into. We process payments from 200 plus countries and territories. And so we'd be really naive to think that a single experience would work well for, you know, a Chinese grandmother that's making a tuition payment on behalf of, you know, their granddaughter, and also would work equally well for an Indian family that's sending their son to get some sort of procedure in the States, even though they might be 100 miles away from each other. So I think when you're talking about the user experience, you really need to be able to understand what individual consumers' needs are, what the client's needs are, and be able to provide them with an experience that's tailored to them, as opposed to feeling like you can have a paint with a broad brush or have a one-size-fits-all approach.
So how do you do that and do it at scale? Since I take the point that you need to accommodate user preferences, which could be cultural, which could be, you know, based on the receiving institution or the method of payment that the sender is using, but how do you engineer a platform so that you can accommodate that and still operate at scale?
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of different levels that I could respond to that, and I'll touch on a couple of them. From an engineering perspective, I feel what that means, you're taking a robust set of services and exposing them via APIs, web services, some endpoints that they can be consumed in any number of different ways. That really forces you to draw a line from a platform perspective and say, these are the different aspects of our services that we expect to be consumed. And then on top of that, you're building these highly personalized, you know, customized experiences that are tailored to all of your target segments. The other piece that's really important there is understanding how those segments are really unique from each other. In our case, when you're talking about international students, you know, perhaps it's by country, you know, country by country, people are looking at different needs. Maybe it's students paying versus parents paying. Maybe it's undergraduates versus graduates. Maybe it's, you know, language schools. They may all have very distinct needs from one another, and really only figure that out by getting out of the building. I mean, there's no accident that we're headquartered in Boston. I can look out the window here and probably see like 50 of our clients and, you know, tens of thousands of international students. Allows us to be able to get out of the buildings, go to their international student orientations, understand, you know, really what their needs are and how they may be completely, you know, different from people that maybe live very close to them. So I don't know that there's necessarily a secret to being able to kind of find a shortcut to understand like exactly what you need to build for each of those countries. Instead, you actually have to go through the grind of going out and doing discovery and having conversations And then based on that diversity of needs, building a platform that allows you to respond to them, to quickly be able to introduce new variations that hopefully meet those needs.
It seems to me that, you know, obviously the work is on your side with integrations to, you know, the sender and receiver. You want to make the receiving organization, you know, as simple as possible to integrate into your network, into your platform, and you want senders to be able to access it easily as well. I mean, that is what we talk about when we talk about this sort of the seamless integration. What lessons have you learned in really trying to do that efficiently?
I would say that the most important piece is that nobody wants to be dealing with any of this. I think that's an important lesson, is that there's a whole bunch of complexity that people, to be honest, for a long time, they just accepted as either a cost of doing business or, you know, a part of the challenge of going to another country to be able to get medical care. They just thought that this was part and parcel of having to deal with these types of experiences. And I remember in the early days, we were going and talking to some of our first schools. The conversations were funny because we would say, hey, we want to help you with your international payments. And they would say, you know, we don't have a problem with international payments. I mean, we send a bill and the money shows up. You know, what could you possibly do? The reality was that it was incredibly expensive. You know, it was a horrible experience for their consumers. They were not able to identify who the funds belonged to. So I think from our perspective, there was a lot of education and demonstration that there actually is a better way. And that's completely outside of the fun work of having to actually build you know, what is part of Flywire, all of the connectivity and technology advances that were needed to be able to bridge the corridors for moving money around the world. It really was a big education effort to be able to have people understand that there is a path to having these transactions flow very similarly to the way that domestic payments can, or sometimes even more seamlessly than they're familiar with, you know, some of the domestic payment experiences. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I mean, but when I think about all of the innovations in technology that really can make a great platform even more robust, it must be very both exhilarating and exasperating to try to determine what enhancements and what innovations you should take on board. How do you make those decisions?
Yeah, I think that is a byproduct of understanding a whole bunch of different factors that are at play when it comes to kind of recognizing the differences and challenges in all the different markets that we play in. And I get some specifics here. So when you're thinking about moving funds around the world, it'd be really easy to build one set solution for a single country. The reality is that there's a whole bunch of regulatory matters. There's, you know, regulatory constraints. There's integration concerns. The actual banking systems that are in place are sometimes archaic, or maybe they're very modern. And if you try to do this one-off approach where you're doing individual integrations to every single one of them, you'll quickly come upon, you know, you've got a collection of projects, and there is no platform there. So you need to be able to examine all of the different markets that you're trying to be competitive in and understand what's in common to them and build something to be able to support what's underneath. And then also recognize what's special there and create levels of abstraction to be able to go and to build that last mile where it may be specific to, you know, the fun challenges of A2 form processing in India, which may be very different than, you know, the wonderfully modern, you know, Korean mobile banking experience. But without having a good handle on all of the different, you know, regulatory and banking and KYC and integration possibilities, it's really hard to chart a course. And I don't know that was something we were able to do in the early days of Flywire. It really forced us to have a lot of experience before we could see, this is the path for us to be able to realize this vision of of starting to make international payments more seamless.
So you mentioned that your goal is to make cross-border payments as efficient and frictionless as domestic payments are. And even sometimes domestic payments can be a little sticky depending upon who's sending to whom. But what do you mean specifically, and how does a platform that is well constructed deliver that experience?
Yeah, I think going back to my earlier point, when it comes to having to make a payment, I mean, this is a chore. Nobody wants to have to deal with any type of friction in any payment process, whether it's domestic or foreign. And historically, mechanisms for moving money cross-border are infinitely more complex and troublesome than just the domestic options, but you're absolutely right. I mean, the U.S. banking payment system leaves a lot to be desired, and I wouldn't always hold that as the benchmark that we should be following. But there are experiences that people have had around the world, even if the countries themselves don't have them. People are getting stories that they're getting exposed to. We've talked about like the Uberization of the world. Maybe Uber doesn't operate in your country, but people understand that there are better models for being able to get from A to B. And once you experience that, it's really hard to go back. So even if the course of making a payment, making your mortgage payment or a car payment or a tuition payment isn't at that level, maybe sending funds to your friend via mobile phone is. And it's not hard for somebody to piece together that there is a better experience for me being able to accomplish, it's just moving money. I mean, you're just trying to transfer value from one location to another. And it's very difficult for people to understand all the complexities and reasons. And frankly, they don't care. They don't care why things behind the scenes are the way that they are. So I think that, to me, screams opportunity for a company like Flywire to come in and to be able to say, there are better experiences. We're going to present a myriad of options for people to pay that hopefully are convenient, more familiar, cost-effective, faster. They get to choose what's better for them. And we mask all the complexity in terms of having to do the KYC and the regulatory fund and the integrations from both the consumer side as well as the client, because they can barely understand the complexities of the U.S. and banking system. They sure don't know what it's like to pay from Lesotho. So mm-hmm. I think that's all been where we've been able to pick a sweet spot and be able to bring all of these disparate systems together and hopefully do that as seamlessly as possible.
Is there an innovation or technology that you think could really enhance the features and functions of what sounds like is already a very robust platform? I mean, to my point earlier, there are always new things that are surfacing that provide opportunities to really add additional functionality or enhance what's already there. Anything come to mind?
Sure. So first let me say that it is a very fun time to be alive. Not that I would ever say that fintech space was boring, but the rate of change over the past few years has certainly accelerated. So I think there's a lot of really fun innovations that are pushing and probably in ways that people weren't, you see a lot of different parties that perhaps are not quite comfortable with the rate in which they're being forced to adapt. I think that's good news for us that are keeping an eye on the space. But yeah, absolutely, lots of things I think are really cause for innovation. So I'd say at a more broad sense, I'd say interconnectivity. And I piece that in with things like blockchain, collection of distributed technologies that are allowing us to have these disparate systems talk to each other, to communicate in ways that used to be really, really difficult. I think that's allowing us to be able to see a lot of momentum when it comes to connecting these different payment networks. I keep an eye on a number of different projects that are out there. I'm really fascinated with what's going on with Hyperledger. Interledger is looking really good as well, as well as like Ripples and the Ethereums of the world, and understanding how the role that they're going to play as they all start to kind of plant their flag. But outside of that, I would say there's a big opportunity for machine learning to have a big impact on fintech in general, whether that's in terms of transaction monitoring or fraud detection and AML practices. It could also lead to better transaction matching. There's a whole bunch of great benefits that come from that. And all of that leads to faster, less expensive payments.
Interesting. Well, Jason, it's been great to get your perspective on the really interesting underpinnings of not only Flywire, but on cross-border payments in general, and that is the platform and the architecture of platforms that actually make things happen efficiently and seamlessly because of the ways in which platform owners construct them. It's been great to get your insights. Thanks for joining me today.